What's up? This is Dominique Beaumonte, and you are listening to Season with Salt, the podcast. Hey, 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 welcome to Season with Salt podcast. This is your host, Dominique Beaumonte, and I wanted to share with you a sermon that I had the opportunity to preach in Redwood City, California this past Sunday, March 28th, at the Little Flock Church of God in Christ. The title of this sermon is My Story Has a Sequel. I think that you will enjoy it. You'll have to forgive me because I downloaded it from YouTube, but I know that if you listen to it, it will be a blessing to you. But before we begin, I just want to shoot to our sponsors and give them the opportunity to share something about why they are supporting the show. And now, let's get to the service. I pray you enjoy.
Let me cement what we're talking about by just dropping out this word to some of y'all this morning. I'm going to just stand on your feet. We're going to read Genesis, the 41st chapter, the 50 to the 57th, second verse. And unto Joseph were born two sons before the year of the famine came. Somebody said before the famine came. When Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bare unto him. Yes. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. Everybody say Manasseh. For God. Say, he hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. Yeah. And the name of the second called Ephraim. Yeah. For God hath caused me to be fruitful in my affliction. Right. Go touch somebody and say, you're going to be fruitful in your affliction. Yeah. I'm going to use for a little topic, and I want you to really just don't touch nobody if you don't feel like it. But I want you to look somebody in their eye and say, neighbor,
friend,
brother or sister, your story has a sequel. Your story has a sequel. And guess what? It's already done. Hallelujah. What is a sequel? What is a sequel? A consequence or a result. What is a sequel? It's a subsequent development. It is the next installment of a movie or a book. What is a sequel? Think about your favorite sequels, or some of the most well-known of those sequels. Toy Story 2 is the consequent, the subsequent development of Toy Story 1.
All right.
Preach with me this morning. Terminator 2. It is the consequence or the result or the subsequent development of Terminator 1. Hallelujah. Batman Returns. It is the consequence, the result or the subsequent development of Batman 1. Hallelujah. I know y'all seen Lethal Weapon 1. Well, I'm going to let you know that because of Lethal Weapon 1, there's Lethal Weapon 2. And Lethal Weapon 2 is the consequence or the result, the subsequent development of the first version. They asked the Writer's Digest, what is the recipe for a good sequel? And the Writer's Digest mother says that the recipe for a good sequel is that it completely reinvents the character and the central story. I'm going to say that again. It completely reinvents the character and the central story. It resolves lingering plot lines. I said it resolves lingering flatlines. Well, this morning, I want to let somebody know in here this morning that yes, your story has a sequel. Oh, bless the name of the Lord. Maybe you've been written off. Maybe you've been underpaid where you work. Maybe you've been outcasted by your friends and family. Maybe you've been underestimated by those who have passed you on. Maybe you've been misunderstood by family and friends. Maybe you've been lied on by folks that you trusted. Maybe you've been cheated on by folks that were supposed to be loyal. That your story has a sequel. Your story is not over. If you're fortunate to be in the sanctuary this morning, when you're listening on YouTube or Facebook, the Lord wants you to know this morning that He calls you to live on. Because your story has a sequel. My text to them. And I'm a teacher. I don't know why I'm doing all this hollering. So don't expect it next time. Hallelujah. I'm leaving that there. Joseph. I don't know where the camera is, y'all. Forgive me. Joseph. The Bible says that he's favored by his father and mother. And the Bible says that his brothers, they get jealous of him. Oh, you gotta anticipate that there will be some people who will be jealous of you. We need to stop doing this thing where we get surprised and shocked and uncomfortable when folks are jealous of us. They'll be jealous of your gifting. They'll be jealous of your anointing. They'll be jealous of the church growth. They'll be jealous of your gifting. But you need to know that there will be some folks who will be jealous of you. They were jealous of Joseph. Because Joseph had favor with the Father. And so they said, what we're going to do is we're going to put Joseph in a pit. Y'all ain't hearing me. Egyptians were passing by and got Joseph out of the pit and took Joseph down to Egypt. Let me tell you one thing. You might be in the pit now. You might feel alienated. There might not be anybody around you who can understand what you're going through. You might feel sometimes that you can't talk to nobody because nobody knows what you're experiencing. God didn't send Joseph's brother and sisters back to the pit, but he sends a stranger. Somebody say a stranger. Oh, I know it feels like you're being surrounded and battered, but God's going to send a stranger to get you out of that mess. I declare and decree this morning over the Little Flock Church of God in Christ that I'm a stranger this morning. And the Bible said that Joseph was doing real good.
Real good.
Go ahead.
And Potiphar's wife.
Come on.
I did not preach this on I said Potiphar's wife. She looked at the favor on Joseph's wife. And she said, "You sure look good.
Come on.
You look better than Potiphar." And the Bible says that Joseph didn't let the favor of God over his life get into his head.
Yeah. All right.
You gotta know that there'll be peaks and valleys.
Yeah.
And when you get to the peak, you cannot allow Satan to steal your joy.
Yeah.
And so Joseph said, "No, I'm not gonna fool with you." So Potiphar's wife, she went back to Potiphar. She said, "You know what, that old Joseph, he tried to cheat me. Y'all, let me just talk to you." And the Bible says that it landed Joseph in prison.
Yes.
Well, subsequent to this situation, we learned that the king, Pharaoh, got upset with his baker. I'm sorry, what the Bible says. Got upset with his baker and threw him in prison. And they went to sleep one night and woke up after having a dream. And the dream they had, they wanted to know what it meant. And they looked over and seen, Joseph laying there. A prisoner in his own right. And Joseph said, I can tell you what your dream means.
Well,
I got some points written down there, but I'm just going to tell you what you're going to
say. Bless him.
I come against every pity party in your life. And the two other prisoners had a dream. And they said, "Do you think, sister, that you can tell me what this dream means?" And here's what Joseph could have done. He could have said, I'm in here and I didn't do nothing, and they always blame me and say I'm busy with my life. They're not controlling me. They always trying to tell me what to do. I didn't deserve this. I've been so good. I've been so faithful. I'm going down there and I sing all the songs and all the messages. They don't like me. Nobody likes me. I'm so faithful. And they still treat me so bad. Oh my gosh, my father, my brother saw me and put me in a pit. And I just don't understand why bad things always happen to me. Like, why do bad things always happen to me, mother? That's what he could have said. But the Bible says that even though he was innocent and in a guilty disposition, the Bible says, he said, "I'm telling you what your dream is because that's what I'm called to do." Listen, some of the pits and the prisons that you will be in, it's not going to be your fault. God's going to position you in some places where it doesn't seem like you deserve to be. And then you in the doctor's office getting ready to get your chemo, and somebody next to you says, "I just don't know. I don't believe there's a God." Why have I lost my job when I'm the one that worked the hardest? Why they pick her and not me? You see, God will put you in situations that seem unfair, that seem unreasonable, that seem problematic, because he's giving you the opportunity to build the narrative of your story. It feels unfortunate. I could have a pity party, but this is a part of the plot of my story. It feels like everybody's against me, but that's all right, because what I'm going through is a part of what God's doing in my life. And so the Bible says that he tells them what the dream is. And then he like the rest of us love. He said, "Listen, I'm telling y'all what this dream is. I'm telling y'all what's over there at Pharaoh's house. So don't try to forget, like y'all don't know who I am when y'all get back home." I know you work over there at Facebook. I've helped you out. When you pick yourself back up together, don't talk like you don't remember me. You know what I mean? That's how we talk. If that ain't how we talk, that's how we feel. And so Joseph said, tell you what. I done done what the Lord told me to do. I done had an out-of-body experience. And I really should be sad and upset because they blamed me. But I let God use me. Now, don't forget when you get back to Pharaoh's. And the Bible says 2 years passed. And Pharaoh had one of them nights when you have two dreams. When you wake up after one dream, and it was so terrible, you get a glass of water, go to the bathroom, and then you go back to sleep and have another dream.
Okay, yeah.
Check this out. I'm a teacher. I can't help it. The Bible says that Pharaoh had a dream that seven fat cows were running out of the river. Just
yow.
And then seven little skinny cows came and got them. And then, to add this, it's crazy, the little skinny cows, the seven of them, ate the big cows. You know that's a crazy dream. Seven little skinny cows ate seven big cows. The Bible said they were fat. That's not a word. But we know what fat is. Okay? Listen. The Bible says that Pharaoh gets up from his sleep, and he said, I want you to call every musician. I want you to call every soothsayer. I want you to call every prophet. I want you to call everybody that you know and get them in here, because they're going to tell you what this dream means. Seven little skinny cows that ate seven big old fat cows. I don't understand. But he had two dreams. One of them was seven big old stalks of corn eating seven little skinny stalks of corn. This is crazy, right?
Yeah.
So they all gathered around, and the baker was just over there baking up stuff, making sure to wash him and couldn't nobody tell Pharaoh what his dream was? You keep going, oh wow, this ain't going right. All that was a now, I don't mean to impose, Pharaoh. I don't mean to impose. But you know that one time when you got mad at me and the baker and you threw us in prison? It was a boy in there.
Yeah.
He had to be about 25 years old. And me and the baker had a dream.
All
right. And that boy taught us everything that we needed to know. The one that let God use him in the midst of his stuff. He talked, that was 2 years ago, but I'll never forget that boy's name. I think his name was Joseph.
Right.
If I'm not mistaken, he's Joseph.
Yes.
I think he worked over at Potiphar's house.
Come on.
And so the Bible said, well, first of all, girl, go get him, and let's see what he's got to say. And so he goes to get Joseph. He tells Joseph, I had two crazy dreams in one night. It was crazy. And the baker said that they'd call you and ask you what this is all about. And Joseph said, well, listen, here's what it is. You're going to have 7 years of famine and 7 years of goodness. And what you're going to need to do is you're going to need to build systems around the fact that you want to have 14 years of discombobulation.
Yeah, right? Yeah, all right.
7 years, everything will be fine. And you're going to have 7 years of famine. Yeah. So you got to spend the 7 years storing up. This is all Joseph.
All right.
You know, the one that got sold by his brothers.
Yeah.
The one that nobody was jealous of him.
Yeah.
The one that nobody liked him.
Yeah.
The one that got accused of doing something with Potiphar's wife that he didn't do.
Yeah.
Joseph, right?
Yeah.
Joseph. Yeah. And so he says, so you got to build yourself an infrastructure. You got to figure out what it is that you're going to do to store up enough food so that after the 7 years of bountifulness, you got something to eat during the 7 years of famine.
That's right.
And you need to build you a system. And so, thus said the Lord, that's what God told me to tell you. You go right on back to Potiphar's house, you take care. All right? Run back to Potiphar's house. And the king got his guys together. He's okay. 7 years of bountifulness, 7 years of famine, and then I need to get somebody to run all this.
Mm-hmm.
Who am I going to get?
Uh-huh.
Too busy. Bad attitude. Don't eat up all the food. What am I going to do? You know what? I'm thinking about this. And the boy that told me this, he seemed pretty wise to me. Now, go ahead. Y'all got to go read. Now, you got to read. You know what? I'm talking about the believing, because I'm just telling y'all what the Bible says. Y'all got to go read Genesis 37, 38, 39, 40, 41. Right. I'm somewhere in the 41 chapter right now. Listen. So, the Bible says that guess how old this little boy was? Because I want us to be careful about how we treat young folks. Yeah. Because you don't know what God is building. Oh, yeah. The Bible says that he calls Joseph in. He says, Joseph, I think you're the man. You're wise. God spoke to your heart. You've been through some stuff. I'm sure Joseph was like, are you sure? Amen. You know my brother saw because they were jealous of me. Mm-hmm. You know my daddy gave me a coat and they put it in blood. Are you sure? Me, the one that was sold, you know, they falsely accused me of messing with Potiphar's wife. Are you sure? Are you me? And sometimes y'all don't have those experiences. And I prophesy. Uh-huh. I prophesy over this house right now that you're going to walk in some experiences that you do not feel like you deserve. All right. Oh, and guess what? Listen, you just be faithful.
Yes.
You just do what God says.
Yes.
You just obey God's will for your life.
Yes.
You just listen to your pastor. You keep coming to Bible study. I'm telling you right now that God's going to open up a door that you weren't even thinking about.
Yes.
All you want is a raise.
Yes.
You don't want to be the highest paid person.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like, all you want is one husband.
Right.
He ain't got to be no supermodel, but guess what? God's got something to blow your mind if you're faithful.
Yeah.
That's what he's showing through Joseph. And so the Bible says that Joseph is 30 years old. He's 30 years old. And he's got the keys to the kingdom. The Bible says that Pharaoh takes off his ring and gives it to him. All because of his obedience.
That's right.
All because he does what God tells him to do.
Yeah.
And listen to what I read this scripture already.
Hallelujah.
So I'm going to read it again.
Glory.
All right.
Joseph had been ostracized and outcasted and misunderstood and lied on and cheated on. And God found favor in his life.
Yes.
And in scripture, he says that after he is 30 years old and God has given him all this favor, the Bible says, and Joseph had two sons.
Yes, Lord.
And they don't do, we don't do like they used to do, where we name the babies after the promise over their life.
Yeah.
This is little Keyshante, and I named him after him. His daddy's name is Keon, and his mama named is Shante. they can do that. The Bible says he has two sons, and he names one of them Manasseh. Now, why does he name him Manasseh? The Bible says he names him Manasseh because God has made me to forget all of my toil.
Yes.
I got news for you.
Yes.
I got news for you. I know you don't feel like number one on the list.
Mm-hmm.
I know you feel left over. I know you feel like people are not giving you what you deserve.
Uh-huh.
But look at the life of Joseph.
Yes.
God says that he gives him favor, and he names a child.
Yes.
He said, this child represents the favor that God gave me through the turmoil.
Yes.
As a result of the turmoil.
Yes.
Listen, and then he had a second son, and his father's after the Bible says, he named him Ephraim.
Yes.
For God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction.
Yes. Yes.
He gave me favor while I was going through.
Yes.
Now, I know we don't want to go through, and I know we preach a prosperity gospel. We say God's going to turn it around, but my Bible says that many are the afflictions of the righteous.
Yes.
Now, listen.
Thank you for your
God.
Many are the afflictions of the righteous.
Yes.
But
God. I know y'all know the Bible, this is a little far. But God, what does he do? He delivers us from it. Just a few of them. You know, we go through a whole lot. And then he picks the ones that he wants to deliver us from. Oh, no, not all of them. Just the ones that we didn't bring on ourselves. Y'all say all?
Oh,
y'all still hollering all.
Oh.
the ones that when we were blamed and we didn't really do it. That's not. You said, Deliver us from the law. Let me close, because I've already been talking too long.
Let the Lord teach you.
Let me just say this. Your story has a sequel. Now, let me, what's your name?
Sister Ferris.
Sister Ferris, I love you. Every time I talk to the pastor, he'll tell me, how's that lady? I just love you. I don't know what it is about you. I just love you so much. Am I right, Pastor? Listen, one of the problems that we have is that we decide that there will be no sequel before it's even written. No, not me. I understand what you, but look what I did. God won't heal me because I smoked a cigarette, so that's why I got cancer. So no, it's not me. We sometimes discount the possibility of God because we don't see it in ourselves.
That's right. So
let me encourage you this morning. I know this is not loud and hollering and stuff like that. I don't know how to do that too well. But listen. Here's what the Lord is saying. That in order for them to have Terminator 2, they had to call Arnold Schwarzenegger. Listen to me, the Brit. They had to call Arnold Schwarzenegger, and they had to say, listen, we were thinking, because of what happened in the first version, we're going to do a subsequent edition.
Yes.
Would you be willing to participate in the sequel?
Yes.
Now, the sequel is not the sequel without Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, right.
How many of y'all have ever watched a sequel where the first person is gone, but they kind of substitute it with somebody that's not supposed to be in it? It's not a sequel. And we don't have all the same people. It's not a sequel. It's not. Now, I know the movie's coming out, but I'm not going to go see it.
Yeah, right.
Because they don't have all the same people. I want the Terminator with that has Arnold Schwarzenegger in it.
Yeah.
And the reason why did it have to be Arnold Schwarzenegger, because he said at the end of the movie,
I will be back.
I want you to look at somebody and say, I'll be back. I'm struggling now. It hurts now. I'm going through now. I'm sick now. I'm unemployed now. I'm tired now. This is the job I deserve. He divorced me. Dependent on you being willing to be obedient. Now listen.
Sick, I don't want anybody to know. Or I gain weight because of the medicine and I don't want anybody to know. We coil up. But Jesus, knowing what he was getting ready to go through.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying?
Now,
I already told you that I was coming against pity parties. Did I tell you that?
Yes.
Jesus could have said, you know what? Forget the manifestation of scripture. I don't want to I want this come to pass me. I don't want to go through this season of life. But the Bible says that and you know why? Because Jesus was obedient to his Father. They said, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. The whole earth is filled with your glory. Listen. Every little step that little cult took with Jesus on represents every step that you can take. Let me tell you, you're going to make it. You are going to make it. Now listen, you are going to make it. Jesus said, I got to go through every phase of this prophecy so that my babies 2,000 years later can know everything that it takes to go through. I know that you don't feel like it. I know that it seems daunting. I know you're tired, but listen, just keep going. You're going to make it.
All right.
And when they look at you and they say, oh, I don't know how you're doing. You know what you tell them? Oh, I don't look like what I've been through.
All right.
And guess what? The answer to that. I don't look like what I'm going with. Yeah. Next Sunday, but I just don't have to tell y'all what happened. They hung him on the cross. And they spread him while they pierced his side. They spit on him. They lied on him. They treated him like he was just the scum of the earth. And the Bible said that after them 7 years of famine came, and he had so much stored up, and the folks came to Pharaoh. They said, we hungry, we got to figure out what we're going to do. And you know what Pharaoh said? He said, go down there to Joseph.
Yeah.
They went after the Joseph. Let's see. Jacob, the daddy, he said, I'm hungry. And I heard that there was some food in Egypt.
Yeah.
So he sent all his boys down to Egypt. He said, go down to Egypt.
Yeah.
The same ones that threw Joseph away were the same ones. They're passing out the food that they needed.
Yeah.
And the Bible says that he recognized his brother.
Yeah.
And he didn't have no malice in his heart.
Yeah.
He took them back. He had to get them a little strategy. He got all of them together. He had a big old feast for them.
Yeah.
Listen, not only are you going to come back stronger and better, but the enemy that been messing with you, you ain't going to have no malice in your heart. They ain't even going to affect you.
Yeah.
You're going to look at them and be like, oh, okay, God bless you, I'm praying for you. You're going to be serious. You know what I mean? And you're going to be serious.
Yeah, yeah.
Joseph is a reminder that you can rebound in Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
And that he honors faithfulness.
Thank you, Jesus.
Listen, I don't know any of you that well. But what I do know is that God's word is true.
Yes.
And I'm just asking everybody to close their eyes. I'm not laying hands or touching nobody. I just want. What I want us to do is get everything out around us, out of our thoughts. And a part of our challenge is that we don't trust God with the things that we are worried about and the things that we are carrying. And so we do this thing where we say, oh, God, just help me. But I believe that God wants us to be intentional in what we need from Him. I want you to begin to reflect on the things that you need from God. I want you to begin to reflect on the areas in your life where you've been hurt, where people have mistreated you, the seed of your self-esteem, the reason why you are who you are. And I want you to begin to be honest with God about what you need from Him. And it's okay. The Bible says that we don't even know what to pray about, but the Holy Ghost intercedes on our behalf. So you might not have the words, you might not know what to say. Maybe the words that you have are just tears. Maybe the words that you have are just moaning and groaning. But listen, God wants to lift your burden today.
Yes,
and he wants to lift your burden by letting you know that this is just a phase. This is just a period. This is just one little slit in your life. But what he has for you is better and greater. And all he wants you to do is hold on. Listen, I come against suicidal thoughts right now in the name of Jesus. I bind Satan. I don't know if we're going to talk about that in church, but I'm going to call Satan now, right now. I come against every suicidal thought now in the name of Jesus. The blood of Jesus prevails over every thought. The Bible says that we should be thinking of those things that are pure. I cancel the assignment of the enemy in the mind. That tells you that you are not enough. That tells you that you are insignificant. That tells you that you are not worthy. I cancel the assignment of the enemy. In the name of Jesus. Father, remove people that are in our lives, Father God, that do not build us, that do not encourage us, that do not tell us who we are in you. And God, listen, if we are those people to other people, God, cause us to repent. Forgive us, God. Turn us around, God.
Influence.
I come against every trick of the enemy that will tell you that this is not your time, that this is not your season, that this is not the period where God wants to heal you, where God wants to revive you, where God wants to restore you. And I'm going to pray this prayer in faith. Father, God, in the name of Jesus, thank you for the word that you said over this house this morning. Father, we pray even now that you would cancel the assignment of the enemy that would cause us to feel like we are not worthy of your blessings. Father, we pray even now, God, that you would cause us to see who you designed us to be, that God, we would begin to see ourselves through your word, and that we would align ourselves, our self-esteem, our everything with what your word says about us, Father. And God, we pray now, God, that you would give us the strength, God. You said that we shouldn't be weary in well-doing, because your word says that in due season we will reap if we faint not. We thank you for the resilience and the fortitude to hold on. Thank you for helping us to hold on. Thank you for helping us to hold on. Thank you for ministering to our hearts when there's no service. Thank you for ministering to our hearts when there's nobody singing our favorite song. Coming into the midnight hour in the private closet, in the car where we're driving. Thank you for permeating all the spaces, God, where Satan tries to have dominion. God, thank you for the reminder that your word says that when Adam and Eve were in the garden, they had dominion over everything, Father. God, reminds me of the dominion that you have given me on earth, where I can call things that aren't as they are, where I can speak life over things that are dead. And God, now I speak life over my life. Now wait for nobody to touch me. Nobody else do the prayer, but I speak life over my life. I speak restoration over my life. I speak health over my life. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in my body right now. Thank you for healing. Thank you for restoring. Thank you for restoring my heart that somebody else tore up, Father, that I didn't know how to rebuild myself. Thank you, God, for giving me a heart of flesh. Thank you, God, for forgiving me, God, for all the times that I didn't trust you and I made decisions on my own. Thank you for restoring me. Thank you for rebuilding me. But most of all, God, thank you for the grace to be here. Thank you for the grace to be here and to experience your word and to know that my life is not over and that you have a sequel in mind for me. And God, I walk in that sequel. I imagine that sequel. I can see myself in that sequel. And God, I thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name. Thank God.
Thank God.
Come on, give God praise for what's been special to you.
Season with Saul, with Saul.